He supplies the power. Others supply only the materials upon which that power operates. It is the power which dictates, dominates. The materials yield. Men are as clay in the hands of the consummate leader. A cynic might concede that there is much truth in Wilson's interpretation, but he would at least acknowledge his own cynicism. Wilson believed he was an idealist. Many believed, including Wilson, that they had found just such a figure in Theodore Roosevelt. More than a popular leader, he was a designated idol of a true leadership cult. William Allen White, the famed progressive writer, recalled in 1934 that he'd been a young, arrogant protagonist of the divine rule of the plutocracy, until Roosevelt shattered the foundations of my political ideals. As they crumbled then and there politically, I put his heel on my neck and I became his man. Roosevelt was the first to translate l'état c'est moi into the American argot, often claiming that the nation's sovereignty was indistinguishable from his own august personage. As president, he regularly exceeded the bounds of his traditional and legal powers, doing his will first and waiting, or not, for the courts and the legislatures to catch up. This captured in small relief the basic difference between Wilson and Teddy Roosevelt, bitter rivals, and the only two proudly progressive presidents of the progressive era. These were very different men with very similar ideas. Roosevelt was a great actor upon the world stage. Wilson saw himself more as a director. Roosevelt was the bull moose who charged into any problem. Wilson was the schoolmaster who first drew up a lesson plan. One wanted to lead a band of brothers, the other a graduate seminar. But if the roles they played were different, the moral of the story was the same. While Wilson wrote treatises explaining why Americans should abandon their blind devotion to the Constitution, Teddy was rough riding all over the document, doing what he pleased and giving bellicose speeches about how the courts had sided against popular rights and were lagging behind the new realities. Indeed, William Howard Taft, Roosevelt's honorable yet overwhelmed successor in the White House, might not have chosen to run for re-election, hence denying Roosevelt the Republican nomination, had he not been convinced that Roosevelt's impatience with the delay of the law made him not unlike Napoleon. There were many fault lines running through progressivism. On one side, there were the likes of John Dewey and Jane Addams, who were more socialistic and academic in their approach to politics and policy. On the other were the nationalists, who appealed more directly to patriotism and militarism. Wilson and Roosevelt more or less represented the two sides.